Hi, so I'm Shankar Raman, professor of literature at MIT. My own area is quite far away from business. I work on 16th, 17th century English and European texts mainly, and currently my focus is on mathematics, so early modern literature and math. But my talk is just a very brief, not particularly profound talk, which was triggered by the title of the conference itself. So the title of our conference recalls an ubiquitous pronouncement often attributed to Milton Friedman. And Otto is the one who brought this to my attention. The business of business is business. This is a phrase he never actually used, as far as I can tell. Any search for this bon mot brings up instead Friedman's September 13, 1970 New York Times essay article entitled, "The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Its Profits." That opinion piece was an outrage response to GM's appointment of 5 directors to Public Policy Committee, despite shareholders having beaten back demands to add 3 new directors to represent the public interest and to create a committee to study the company's performance in areas of public concern, such as safety and pollution. Reading Friedman's article today, the problems with its premises, logic, and argument often seem so glaring that it's hard to believe how much impact that article has had, to say nothing of his larger book, of his book, Capitalism and Freedom, which develops the same ideas at greater length. But let me correct that. It would be hard to believe had we not just experienced this recently concluded election, not least because Friedman opens by accusing any businessman who declaims that business is, quote, concerned merely with profit, not merely with profit, but with desirable social ends. He accuses any of them of quote, preaching pure and unadulterated socialism. Plus ça change. Friedman's title is itself a provocation. Since business has no social responsibility in his terms, the responsibility to increase profits is not a social responsibility at all, as his title ironically claims, but instead what he terms the direct responsibility of a corporate executive to the owners of the business, who for Friedman are its employers. Part of the business of the humanities, that is, part of what occupies us, and this is the fairly simple message of my talk, is to scrutinize, and in an ideal world to change, the business of business. In this vein, let me locate one rhetorical strategy that both undermines Friedman's article, but also contributes to its success, especially among those who are already believers. This strategy you might call the asymmetrical elimination of qualifiers. That is, qualifiers are retained when they help his case, but silently put aside when they might prove troublesome. So for example, Friedman writes that, quote, "The responsibility of the corporate executive is to conduct the business in order with the desire of his employers, which will generally be to make as much money as possible while conforming to the basic rules of society, both those embedded in law and those embedded in ethical custom." The responsibility that he qualifies as general is soon configured to mean exclusive from the point of view of the executive. But even more troubling, the idea that business practices need to conform to social rules embodied in customary ethics largely disappears from the rest of his essay. Since, for example, polluting the environment where other people go on about their own business could arguably be construed as part of ethical customs, shunting aside vitiates the very claim that he makes. And nor does it work to move such instances out of the category of social responsibility and into the category of law so that the correction to a breach of customary responsibility to not interfere with the lives and livelihoods of others is relocated by Friedman in the injunction that the corporate executive obey the law or pay the penalty. This would only function, even on Friedman's terms, if the penalty was sufficiently steep and the loss of commons valued at a rate commensurate with their exploitation. But we cannot even pass a carbon tax, let alone with a straight face avoid the realization now that the dominance of Friedman's business ethos for over more than 5 decades has led to the crisis of the present, a current state of collectively producing results that nobody wants. Destructive violence against our planet, global warming, biodiversity loss, and yet it continues. But perhaps if we are to go beyond critique to rethink and change what the business of business is, a wide exploration in time might help us, both intellectually and strategically, in keeping an exploration that is in keeping with the impulse behind our global humanities initiative, that is to expand comparison across space and time. A further search reveals that the phrase misattributed to Friedman, the business of business's business, scientifically modifies a misquotation from Calvin Coolidge's address to the American Society of Editors in 1925. The misquotation is, "The chief business of America is business." What the president actually said was, quote, "After all, the chief business of the American people is business. They are profoundly concerned with producing, buying, selling, investing, and prospering in the world," quote, quotes. The distance between Coolidge's words to the American Society of Editors and the Friedman quip provides one convenient entry to the themes of this conference. If a Friedman doing business meant almost exclusively enriching the passive shareholder, the Coolidge business model was centrally about American agency, what people did. And even if this agency was primarily conceived as economic, it nonetheless implied the need for a social world that encouraged and supported human action that would lead to prosperity, the Coolidgean equivalent of what you might recast as happiness. Thus, in a speech to the Amherst Alumni Society in 1916, Coolidge criticizes, quote, "those sentiments held in too many respectful quarters that our economic system is fundamentally wrong, that commerce is only selfishness, and that our citizens, holding the hope of all that America means, are living industrial slavery. I appeal to Amherst men," he says, "to reiterate and sustain the Amherst doctrine that the man who builds a factory builds a temple, that the man who works there worships there, and to each is due, not scorn or blame, but reverence and praise," end quote. What Coolidge focuses on here, then, is the dignity of labor. To redraw the line from Coolidge to Friedman might help us rethink yet again, from our own current perspective, what the business of business is. But also it might help us rediscover a language that makes rethinking palpable in order to change the business of business. And that seems to me a task that humanities could well busy themselves with. Thank you.